Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Ayin Hey. We are holding on Daf Ayin Daladam Beis. We are 3 lines from the end of the page at Tan Rabbanan on Daf Ayin Daladam Beis. Today's your sponsor once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to discuss, we had mentioned 3 different placements of oil in a Karban Mincha, and the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that all 3 of those placements of oil apply to all Karbanos Mincha. Then the Gemara is going to explain each side in the Machlokas, whether Belila is done before baking or after baking. Why does each Tana hold what he holds, and what exactly is the process according to each Tana? Then the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that Belila is just for Chalos, whereas Meshicha is something that's just for Rekikin. And how do I know not to apply Meshicha as well to Chalos and Belila as well to Rekikin? The Gemara is going to discuss various other opinions of how exactly the Meshicha was done, aside from what the Mishnah said, which is Kamin Ki, that they made it like the Greek letter Ki when they would rub the oil on the Mincha. So we're going to have a few other brises with a few other opinions of exactly what they did in terms of the Meshicha of the Shemen on the Mincha. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about which Menachos require Psisa, which is taking the loaf and crumbling it up into smaller pieces. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about how exactly Psisa was performed. So which Menachos require Psisa and what they did. What exactly does Psisa look like? And once we describe Psisa, that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about what bracha one recites on bread that is crushed. And can we bring any rayas from matzah on Pesach and from other areas of halach? And that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the page on Ayin Hayim Beis. So let's begin 3 lines from the bottom on Daf Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. Tan Rabban Vim Minchas Marcheshes Karbanecha Solos Pashemen Ta'aseh. So Melameit Shetuna Matan Shemen Bekli. We see from that pasuk that a mincha Marcheshes requires putting oil in the kli before you put the flour in the kli, because it sounds like the solus is b'toch Hashem en te'aseh, that you do it in the oil that's already there. And then we darshan karbanecha l'gzeira shava, that by minchas marcheshes it says minchas marcheshes karbanecha, by minchas machvas it says mincha ala machvas karbanecha. So we darshan l'gzeira shava between those 2 karbanos mincha, that whatever is said by one of them applies to the other. Makan matan shemen bakeli, just like when it comes to the minchas marcheshes, you put the shemen in the kli first before you put the flour in afla alan. So to by minchas machvas matan shemen bakli, you put the flour in the kli before the you put the oil in the kli before you put any flour in umala halan. And just like by the minchas machvas yitzika ubelila, there's a din of yitzika and there's also a din of Belila, Afkan, so to by Minchas Marcheshes, Yitzika, U Belila. There's a din of Yitzika and a din of Belila. Tosos asks, how could the Gemara say that we learn in Gezer Shava that you do Belila and Yitzika by all Menachos? At the end of the Amud, we're going to say that we learn Yitzika by all Menachos from a ribuy of the word Mincha. And Tosos also asks, how can we learn 3 Matnos Shemen to all other Menachos where it doesn't say Karbanecha, like a Minchas Solas and Minchas HaOmer, meaning we just linked Minchas Machvas and Minchas Marcheshes to each other, but how do I know about all of these various matnos shemen by other menachos, like a minchas solas and a minchas haomer? So Tosa says that once the Torah is megala by various menachos, that you need matnas shemen, and it was megala by one mincha, the way that they would do the matnas shemen, so the svara, it's most mistaver that you can learn from here to all other menachos, even without a special ribuy, because it's a gilui, what exactly the tzura of placing shemen on a mincha is, that once the Torah tells me that this is what it means to place shemen on a mincha, that you do all of these various placements of shemen on a mincha, so we know to apply it elsewhere as well. Now, since the Torah writes different types of nesinos, there's makom to say that by each mincha you only do the nesina that it says by that mincha. So that's what the Gezer Shav is telling me, that no, we apply the nesina that it says by the machvas to the marcheshes, and the marcheshes to the machvas. So once we're megala that general principle that there aren't targeted types of nesinos for different types of menachos, so now I know for all the other menachos we do all of these other nesinos of shemen. Okay, chalos ba'olon divrei Rabbi v'chamorim solas. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah at what stage they would do the b'lila b'shemen, when they were chalos or when they were solas. So the Gemara explains the two shitos. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that the pasuk says solas b'lula, that it says v'mincha ala machvas karbenecha solas b'lula b'shemen. So melamed shen v'lalas solas. That seems to be telling us that you do the b'lila while it is still flour. Rabbi Omer chalos b'lulan. No, it's only after you've already turned it into chalos that you do the b'lila. The b'lila, of course, is the mixing of the flour and the oil. Shenemar chalos b'lulos. It says chalos matzos b'lulos b'shemen. So chalos are b'lulos. So it sounds like the b'lila is done after it's already baked and it's already become chalos. So Amalo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo lachmei toda. What about the lachmei toda, the different loaves of bread that are brought with a carbon toda? Carbon toda, of course, is a carbon shalom that a person brings when an ace happens, and it has a din of kachim kalim legabe all halachos except for the zman achila, which is only liyom v'layla, which is similar to kachay kachim, that you can only eat it for that day. But you bring 40 loaves of bread with the carbon toda, 10 of which are chametz, and eser avucha, eser chalos, eser rikikin. So for nemar behen chalos, it says chalos matzos blulos b'shem and by carbon toda v'iyef shalabolon kshin chalos alasolas. But we don't do the blila. It's not possible to do the blila when they're chalos. It has to be done when they're solas. The Gemara is going to explain how we know that. But if that's true by a carbon toda, that you can't do the blila when they're already baked, you got to do the blila when it's still solas. So even though the words chalos blulos appear in the context of carbon toda, so doesn't that tell you not to darshan from the phrase chalos blulos that you do the blila when it's chala, that it's not indicative of when we actually do the blila? So the Brisa explains how exactly this worked according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi. Ketzarosa. So what did Belila look like according to the Chachamim if they did the Belila when it was solus, when it was still flour? So here's what you did. Nosin shemen bakli kodem lasiasan. Before you put any flour in the kli, you first put oil in the kli, then vinosna, then you put the solas on top of the flour, on top of the oil in the kli, and then vinosin shemen aleha ubalila. Then you put more oil on top of the flour, and then you mixed it, vilasha, and then you kneaded it with water, right? In order to do elisha on the dough, you need water as well. And then va'ulfa, then you baked it, uposasa, and we're going to learn about the mitzvah psisa later on in the Mishnayis in today's daf, that you would then crush it up, and then you put oil for a third time, that's the mitzvah of Yitzika, then v'komets, and then you would take the kemitza from it. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, chalos balulan. No, you do the belila when it's already baked, when it's already chalos. Shenemar, chalos blulos b'shemen. Because it says, chalos blulos b'shemen. Ketzarosa, so what did it look like? How did you do this? What was the process? Nosin shemen b'kli kodem lasiyasa. You put the shemen in the kli first before you do anything else. Then vinosna, then you put the flour on top of the shemen, then vilasha, then you knead the dough with some water, v'ofa, and then you bake it, uposasa, and then you break it up into pieces, and then vinosin ala shemen ubalila, and then you put more shemen, and you do the belila, then v'chos vinosin ala shemen v'komets. Then you put shemen on a third time, you put a third placement of shemen to fulfill the mitzvah of yitzika, and then you take the kemitza from it. So the Gemara explains, why did the Chum say that you cannot do the belila on the chalos of a toda, that a carbon toda, it's impossible that you do the belila after it's baked. E efshar deka amri le rabban al rabbi mahi. When the rabban said to Rabbi that it's e efshar that by a carbon toda you can do the belila as chalos, what does that mean? Why is it e efshar? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yitzchak, the amount of oil that we designate for the chalos and the rikikun of a carbon toda is only a grand total of one revius halog of shemen. So in order for to do the belila of the chalos, you only have 1/8 of a log, right? You only have a half of it, because between the chalos and the rikikun you have a revius of a log. So in order to, so that means for each type you only have 1/8 of avalog. It's not shaykh to do the blila of the chalos of the tovda after it's already baked with such a teeny tiny amount of oil, because they're dry, they'll absorb everything. So it must be that you do the blila when it's still soulless, and soulless you could do the blila even with a very teeny tiny amount of oil. So that's the hechrech, that the phrase chalos blulos is lav davka, because in the context of carbon toda it must be lav davka, since it would be a physical impossibility, and therefore by other carbonos it must be lav davka as well. Then the Mishnah said hachalos tunos blila rukiko mishicha, that chalos require blila and rukikin require mishicha. So the Gemara brings a brisa that says, how do I know those things, that when chalos need blila and rukikin need mishicha? So Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa. It says by the Minchas Mafatanur, it says chalos blulos. It says that chalos matzos blulos shemen, rukikin matzos mishuchim bashemen. So from the fact that it says by the chalos that it says blulos, we darshin velo rukikin blulin, that there's a mitzvah of blila by chalos, there's no mitzvah of blila by rukikin. So the brisa explains, why do I need a drasha for that? Because I would have thought otherwise. Sheyachal, I would have thought fellow dinu, that we could learn that rukikin also require blila based on the following kal v'chomer. Chalos she'enon tunos mishicha, tunos belila, chalos which do not require mishicha, and yet they do require belila, rikikin shetun mishicha, enu din shetun belila. So rikikin which do require mishicha, and are therefore more chamer than chalos, all the more so that they're going to require belila. Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says, chalos belulos, velo rikikin belulin. That no, only chalos get belila, rikikin do not get belila. Now it says, rikikin mishuchin, and we darshin, velo chalos meshuchos, that there's a mitzvah of meshicha on rekikin, but there's no mitzvah of meshicha on chalos. So the Brisa explains, why would I have thought otherwise? Meaning, after all, the Torah only says meshicha by rekikin, so why would I have thought that there's meshicha by chalos? Sheyachal valodinu, because I might have said that I could derive a kal v'chomer. Umar rekikin she'inun tu'un belila, tu'un meshicha of rekikin, which do not require belila. Nevertheless, do require meshicha, chalos shetunos belila, chalos which are more chamer than rikikin that require blila, enu din shetunas mashicha, all the more so are going to require mashicha, tamalomar, rikikin mashuchin velo chalos mashuchos. That's why the pasuk tells me, no, only rikikin are mashuchin, chalos are not mashuchos. So my Talmudah, what's the hechrich that the drasha should be made that way, that we're saying that there's exclusivity over here, that belila applies only to chalos, and mashicha applies only to rikikin? Maybe the Torah is just megala that there's such a thing as a belila by one carbon mincha, and it's megala by another carbon mincha that there's such a thing as mishicha, and I'm supposed to apply shel zeh bazeh v'shel zeh bazeh. Meaning, after all, generally speaking, when you have a din that says in one place, we apply a binyanav. We say, I learn from here to everywhere else. So how do I know that there's exclusivity? Say, answer Gemara, Amar Rava lo l'shtamit v'luchtav chalos meshuchos rikikin belulin. That it can't be that it's lav davka, because in all the parshios that we have discussions of Kabbalos Mincha and Parshas Tzitzav and Parshas Tzav, this week's Parsha, Parshas Naso, we never find that it ever changes, that the Torah ever slips, even not slips, but ever just once says Meshicha in the connection to Chalos and Belila in connection to Rikikin. So it must be that it's Dafka. Chalos get Belila, Rikikin get Meshicha. Ketzad Moshchan, Kimin Ki, Vashar Nechel. So we said that how would you do the Meshicha? They would do a Kimin Ki, the shape of the Greek letter Ki, which says Gemara, my Kimin Ki. What is the Greek letter Ki? So Rav Kana, Kimin Ki Yevani. In case you're rusty on your Greek, so it's the Kimin, well, it's not, it doesn't help. Meaning Kimin Ki, the Gemara is asking, what does Kimin Ki mean? In case you never heard that phrase, Kimin Ki, it means like the Greek letter Ki. So you got to Google it to see how they would shape the Greek letter Ki, and then you know how to do it. But the Rishonim tells it means like the shape of the letter Tes in the Hebrew alphabet. Why didn't they just say Kimin Tes? I don't know whether the people knew Greek, I guess, better than they knew the Hebrew letters. But okay, but that's what it says. So it's like the shape of the, similar to the shape of the letter Tes. Tan Rabbanan. So the Bryce is going to tell us, other shitos about exactly how they did the Mashicha, not necessarily kimin ki. Mincha ba mechza chalos and mechza rekikin. If someone says that he's going to bring a minchas ma'afa, where he's supposed to bring 10 chalos or 10 rekikin, and he brings 5 chalos and 5 rekikin, because that's a shita and tanaim that you're allowed to do that. We had a machlokas, whether it needs to be kula chalos or kula rekikin, or you could do mechza mechza. So let's assume, like the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to do mechza chalos or mechza rekikin. So maybe log shemen, the guy who made this commitment, brings a log shemen v'chotzehu, and he splits it in half. Chetzio l'chalos v'chetzio l'rekikin. That half of the log shemen goes for the chalos and half for the rekikin. The chalos bolulon, rekikin moshchan. The chalos he fulfills the mitzvah of belila with. The rekikin he fulfills the mitzvah of meshicha with. So far no surprise, because that's what we just learned. That chalos are get Belila and Rikikin get Mashicha. That's what you do with the oil. How would you do the Mashicha? Umosheach es harokik al pnei kulo. They take the chatzi log of shemen that you're doing the Mashicha with on the Rikikin, and you do it over the entire surface of the Rikikin. So, which means not kaminki, that you spread it over, not just like the shape of the letter test, where you take two fingers and just spread it upward apart from one another. No, you do it al pnei kulo. Veshara shemen, and whatever shemen is left over after the Mashicha, machzir lechalos. You put it together with the shemen that you're going to do the belila with the chalos. So you pour, meaning you start with half-half, but then after you finish the Mashicha of the Rikikin, you now put whatever's left over from that Mashicha together with the oil that you're going to do the belila with the chalos. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer Moshchen Kamin Ki, that no, you do the Mashicha Kamin Ki, not al pnei kulo. You do like we said in the Mishnah, Ushar Hashem and Nechal Kohanim. And what do you do with the rest of the Shem that's left over after you do Kamin Ki? That gets eaten by the Kohanim. So there are two machlokos over here. They argue whether Mashicha is Kamin Ki, and they also argue what you do with the leftover oil, whether you're mitzdarif it with the Shem of the Chalos, or it just gets eaten by the Kohanim. So that's the biur of this brisa, but it does introduce us to this new shita of what of how they did the Mashicha, that it wasn't necessarily kamin ki. Now the machlokas is really how to darshan the psukim. The Re'em writes they darshan whether they argue whether to darshan like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Torah's Kohanim, where it says twice b'shemen and in riboy yachar riboy el lema'et. So we see that you're not supposed to be mosheach all of it, and that's why it's kamin ki only. Kamin ki is obviously a much lesser amount of oil. You're not spreading oil over the entire surface. You're just making the shape of the Greek letter ki on the bread, and that's it. So discussion is exactly how to read the pesukim according to each opinion. Tanya idach, we have another brisa. Rikikin haban bifnei atzman. If a person says he's going to bring a minchas ma'afatanur and he decides that he's going to bring all rikikin, right? Either because he holds that you have to bring one or the other, or because he chose to bring all rikikin. So maybe log shemen umoshchan. The misnade brings a log shemen and he does the mashicha on the rikikin v'chozer moshchan, and he keeps doing it. Whatever's left over, he keeps doing it over and over again at sheichel kol shemen shabalog until he finishes up all of the shemen. Rabbi Shimon Yudom, Rabbi Shimon moshchan kamin ki v'shar shemen nechal kohanim. No, you just do kamin ki and the rest of it gets eaten by the kohanim. So if it would have been mechza chalos, he would be moda that you could put the rest on the chalos, because the point over here is that the kohanim don't get to eat it. But it's not a din bedafka to keep doing the mashicha over and over again. It's just that the kohanim don't eat it, so you need to do something with it. So in this price, it's not necessarily arguing on anything on the previous price, right? Meaning we're saying that if you happen to be bringing rekikin bifnei atzman, so there are no chalos to put the rest of the oil with. So then just keep doing the mashicha over and over and over again till you finish up the oil, because the oil does not get eaten by the kohanim. So something must be done with the oil. Period. Now we move on to the next sugya, which is the sugya of psisa. It says in Parshas Vayikra, when it comes to the minchas machvas, that it says pasos osa pitim viatzakta l'Hashem in minchahi. So we learn that after you bake the korban mincha, properly, you divide it up or you break it up into psisim, into smaller pieces, and then you mekayim the mitzvah of yitzika. So kol ha-menachos nasos b'kli tunas psisa. The Mishnah tells us all menachos that are made in a kli require this mitzvah of psisa. Lemutemai, which mincha are we trying to say is not included in psisa? We said only menachos are nasos b'kli. So it sounds like there are other menachos that are not nasos b'kli, do not require psisa. So merapapa lemutzi shaylechem lechem apanim. It excludes the shtei lechem of Shavuos and lechem aparim that we bring each and every Shabbos that you put on the shulchan. Those menachos do not require; they're not made in a kli shareis. They're made in the tanur. So the Torah is telling us that they don't require. The Mishnah is telling us they don't require psisa. Tanur abanan. So the Gemara brings a brayse that explains how I learned from the pasuk which menachos require psisa and which do not. Pasosa sapitim. The pasuk says mincha and says v'yatzakta l'Hashem mincha hi. So it sounds like the reason for the din of psisa is because minchahi l'rabbis kala menachos psisa. So that sounds like every single karma mincha requires psisa. So yachal shani marba afshtei lechem lechem apanim. So I would imagine that that includes even the shtei lechem lechem apanim. Atamalomar osa. That's why it says a pasos osa. That it sounds like that's some sort of miut. So it must not apply to all carbonos mincha. So we're in the most logical ones to exclude from the mitzvah psisa are the shtei lechem and lechem apanim. So the braisa goes on and explains the makar of the din that we said that all menachos require yitzika b'shemen except for a mincha mafatanur, which would be minchas chalas and minchas rikikin. So v'yatzakta shemen mincha, it says v'yatzakta la shemen mincha hi, the pasuk says. So from the pasuk it sounds like the reason for the din yitzika is because mincha, because it is a mincha, l'rabbis kol ha-menachos yitzika, and that therefore should teach me that all menachos require yitzika. So yachal shani marba af minchas mafe, I would think to include minchas mafe tanur as well, that it should also require yitzika. Tamalomar aleh ha-shemen. That's why it says aleh ha-shemen, that it's only on it that requires shemen, so some sort of miut. Otzias ha-chalos v'lo otzias ha-rikikin. I will take chalos away from the din yitzika of minchas mafe tanur, but not rikikin of from the din of minchas mafe, because the Torah says only one miut. So how do I know to be mema'et two menachos? Tam lomar he. There's another miut from the word he. So since there are two miutim in the pasuk, so mema'et, even though the din of yitzika, it's first sounded like it applies to all menachos, yitzakta shem and mincha, that anything that's a mincha gets a yitzika. I have two miutim, one to tell me the mafatanur, from the din yitzika, both types of mafatanur, the chalos and the rikikin, which are two types of mafatanur. So those are the miutim to tell me which do not require yitzika. My Talmuda, how do I know the miut from yitzika applies to minchas mafatanur? Meaning of all the menachos, why would you just say, oh, mafatanur probably doesn't get yitzika? Meaning I know that the Torah is telling me something doesn't get yitzika. How do we choose mafatanur? Eimu lahotzi minchas kohanim. Maybe it's telling me that a mincha that a kohen brings does not get yitzika. Isn't that even more mistaver, because it's not mentioned in that parsha with the other menachos. It's mentioned elsewhere, meaning all the other menachos are in parshas Vayikra. This is in parshas Tzav. So how does the Tanur know to be memai dafka the minchas mafatanur, which is listed together with the other menachos? I would think the most mistaver mincha to exclude from yitzika is the one that's not listed together with the other menachos, which is the minchas kohanim. So merabe ezu davar shetzarich shnei miyutin haviyomer minchas mafa. No, because there are two miyutin. So what type of carb mincha requires two miyutin? That's a minchas mafatanur, because there are two types of menachos within minchas mafatanur. There's chalos and there's rikikin. So since there are two miyutim in the parsha of Yitzika, there's aleha and there's he, each one is a miyut, so must be trying to be mema'it some type of mincha that has two subcategories. So that's how I know that it's being mema'it a minchas mafatanur that has both the category of chalos and the category of Rikikin. Okay, so now that we said that there is a mitzvah psisa, so says the Mishnah, how do you do psisa? So a minchas Yisrael, a mincha that a Yisrael brings, where you got to do kamitza after you bake it or you fry it. So how do you do psisa? So kofel echel l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba'a. You fold it over once and you fold it over a second time. So you break it up into quarters mavdil. And when you fold it over, you break it. You don't just fold it in a way like you would fold a wrap or something where it stays as a single. piece. No, but you actually break it into four pieces, into four squares. Minchas Kohanim, but a mincha that a Kohen brings, where you're never going to need to do a kamitza on it, so it doesn't really need to break up so much. Kofalach l'shayim l'shayim l'arba, ve'eno mavdil. You fold it once, you fold it twice, but you don't need to break it up from the parts up from one another, because since it's all going to go on the mizbeach anyway, and you're not going to need a kamitza, the whole thing goes up on the mizbeach, so there's no reason for it to be broken up into pieces. It's good enough to fold it over just to be mekayim the mitzvah of psisa. So you need to do mitzvahs psisa, and apparently that could be done by just folding it over. But the practical element of psisa, of ending up with small pieces, is not necessary for the minchas kohanim. It's only necessary for minchas yisrael. Minchas kohen mashiach, the mincha that the kohen gadol will bring every day, loya makapla. They wouldn't fold it at all. This sounds like that you don't do psisa on the minchas kohen gadol. Rabbeinu Gershom and the Miuchas Rashi write lefi shehichovas. So it sounds like what they're saying is that since it's a chova, so it has to be different than minchas nedava. So minchas nedava get psisa, and apparently minchas chova does not get psisa. And the mincha that Kohen Gadol brings every day is a minchas chova. So the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama about minchas kohanim. Rabbi Shimon omer minchas kohanim u minchas kohen mashiach. Ein ben psisa, mipnei she'ein ben kmitza. Shekol she'ein ben kmitza, ein ben psisa. Rabbi Shimon says, even not only by the Minchas Kohen Gadol, even by Minchas Kohanim in general, there's no mitzvah of psisa, and therefore you don't have to fold it at all. Whereas the Tanakhama said there's a mitzvah of psisa, you just don't have to break it, but you still have to fold it to fulfill the mitzvah of psisa. Rabbi Shimon says, there is no mitzvah of psisa. V'kulan posan kizesim. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon also disagrees in terms of how one would do psisa when you do psisa. That whichever chalos require psisa, you do it until each of the psisim is a sheer kazayis. And he disagrees with the Tanakhama, who does not say that. He says you fold it twice and that's it. So you could end up with gigantic pieces, right? A sheer kazayis could be way smaller than the pieces that you end up with. So you're supposed to break it down, according to Rabbi Shimon, until you have a sheer kazayis in each of the pieces. So the Gemara brings a price that explains the source for the idea of how they would do the psisa. Tanu Rabbanan, where do we get from psukim how you do the psisa? Because the pasuk says pasos, it says pasosos apitim. So we learn from there that your posis the mincha so yachal lishnayim. I might think pasos means fold it in two, break it into two. Tamalomar pitim. That's why it says pitim, that there's another psisa. Ipitim yachal yasen apirurin. If I would just add the word pitim, I would think you just have to make breadcrumbs out of it. Crumble it entirely into crumbs. Tamalomar osa. That's why it says pasos osa pitim osa. Sounds like osa lepsisim lo psisa lepsisim. That you take the original carbon and make it psisim, but you don't turn that into psisim. So you don't do the psisa on something that's totally crumbled up. Meaning to the point that it's totally crumbled up. Hakeit said sayir mekayim that in milchas yisrael kol v'lech l'shem shayim l'arba. If it's a minchas yisrael, you fold it into fours and you separate it as you fold it. Minchas kohanim, when it comes to minchas kohanim, where there's not going to be a need for kemitza, kofalach l'shayim l'shayim l'arba, ve'enu mavdil. Ukoin mashiach, hayim a kapla, koin mashiach, the minchas kohen gadol, they would fold it and not be mavdil, because it goes up on the mizbeach and is not nekmetzes, so you don't have to break it up into different pieces. So says Gemara, wait, koin mashiach, you're saying the minchas kohen gadol, they would fold it. V'hanantran, in our Mishnah said loya makapla, that the minchas kohen gadol is a third category. That you have minchas Yisrael where you do the folding and you break it when you fold it. You have the minchas kohanim where you do the folding and you don't have to break it. And then you have the minchas kohen gadol where you don't do the folding at all. And now the price all of a sudden tells us you fold even the minchas kohen gadol. Samarava inu makapla larba avu makapla l'shnayim. Now what the Mishnah meant when it said that you don't do the folding of the minchas kohen gadol is that you don't fold it into fours. You fold it into twos. So it still is going to get some level of psisa, and that's what the Braisa meant when it said Hayim Makapla. And the reason is because it says Tufine Minchas Pitim, so it sounds like you do Shnei Pitim, that you do it into two pieces. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchas Kohen Minchas Kohen Mashiach Ein Ben Psisa. Rabbi Shimon's Shita was that the Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach do not get psisa at all. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hay Chavitza, if you have a food that's made out of breadcrumbs, so the ispa pirun kezayis. But there are crumbs that are the size of a kezayis that are still in the mixture. Mivarchin Allah hamotzi lechem min haaretz. The correct bracha rishona to say on it is not mezonos. It's hamotzi lechem min haaretz because you have pieces that are the size of a kezayis. Ilespa pirun kezayis. But if the crumbs are all smaller than a kezayis, mivarchin alei borei minei mezonos. Then the proper bracha is borei minei mezonos. That anything that's made from chameshas minei dagon and doesn't have the chashivus of lechem is borei minei mezonos, meaning it defaults to borei minei mezonos. That we have definitions of what's called pasa babikisnin and what's not called pasa babikisnin. Many of the Rishonim understand that the definitions aren't really definitions. They are examples, right? That's why the Shulchan Aruch, we have three different shittas in Rishonim, what's called pasa babikisnin. Is it something that has a pocket that's filled with sweetener? Is it something that's flaky? It's a dough that is flaky. Is it a sweet dough? Right? What exactly is pasa babikisnin? Three shittas in Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch says all of them. They're all pasa babikisnin. So the way a number of the Acharim understand is because none of them are the definition of pasa babikisnin. They're examples of pasa babikisnin. Meaning we don't really have we have a definition of bread. A definition of bread is something that has a tzura sapas. And if it doesn't have a tzura sapas, memela it's pasa babikisnin. Memela it goes back. It defaults to being a mezonos. So if you have this dish that's made with these crumbs, and none of the crumbs are the size of a kezayis, so there's no tzuras hapas, mail it's going to be berminei mezonos. Amar Rav Yosef Minah Amin Allah, how do I know this din? Titania, because we have a brisa. Ya'omin amakrav menachos b'Yerushalayim. If a person is bringing karbanos mincha in Yerushalayim, meaning in the Beis Hamikdash. So the halach is Omer Baruch Shechianu V'Kiyumanu. First of all, you say a Baruch Shechianu V'Kiyumanu V'Gianu Lazman Hazeh for bringing a Karban Mincha. The Miuchas the Rashi writes because we're talking about a Kohen that was never makriv a Karban Mincha previously in his life, or he's makriv a Mincha that's Bamizman Lazman, like the Minchas HaOmer, which only comes once every year. So that warrants a Shechianu. Rashi in the Ksaviyat says that we're about a Kohen that hadn't yet brought a Karban Mincha this year, or Yisrael that never brought a Karban Mincha in his life. So Tosfos explains that we're talking about any Kohen that begins the day of his Mishmar, that since it was the Mishmaros were divided up into different families, so any Kohen that was that only worked for one day in every half a year, so since it was a mitzvah that was mana kavua for him, he would say a Shechianu when he would start his day's Avoda. So exactly what type of Shechianu and where to apply this, and when else you'd say a Shechianu for doing something for the first time, doing a mitzvah for the first time that year? Does it have to be a mitzvah bal mizman l'zman? Is a major discussion. Well, we're probably not going to have time to have that right now, but this is a major marmakom in all those discussions about, you know, the first time you ever do a mitzvah. You get the question all the time from whenever one of my talmidim gets married, his wife always texts me, so I'm lighting Shabbos candles for the first time. So I say a Shechianu. Never done this before. So it's interesting that people think of that they immediately think, I'm doing a mitzvah for the first time, better say a Shechianu. And the guys are putting on a talis for the first time. Do I say a Shechianu? So a talis is mefurish in Shulchan Aruch because it's a beged chadash. That you say a Shechianu on a beged chadash, not on a talis katan. Get that one a lot also. Just put tcheles on my talis katan. Do I say a Shechianu? So tcheles is a mitzvah. So for that, you wouldn't say a Shechianu l'chora the first time you do a mitzvah. Well, I mean, it relates to the sugya. Do you say a Shechianu the first time you do a mitzvah? Pashas is we don't. So we don't for the first time lighting candles, we don't for the first time putting on tchelas. But when it comes to a talis gadol is a beged chashuv. How often do you get a new talis gadol? You look around shul, some people more often than others, but a talis gadol does require, that's mefurish shulchan aruch, that requires shechianu. Netalon liachlan omar hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Then you take it to eat it, you say a bracha of hamotzi utnan v'kulim p'sisim kazayis. And it says in the Mishnah that there would be posis menachos until they have each piece the size of a kezayis. So it sounds like you need psisei lechem, that if you have psisei lechem that are the size of a kezayis, then the bracha is going to be a motzi. Amle Abayah, the Tanu Debei Rabbi Shmuel, according to the Tanu Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Da'amar Mefarchan, Ad Shemachzirin L'Sultan, who says that no, you don't break them up until they're kezayis, you break them up until they're breadcrumbs, until they're like flour. Hachinami Lom Varech Hamotzi, would he then say that there's no bracha of Hamotzi on Menachos because the psisim don't have a sheer kezayis, that the bracha Rishona on a Karban Mincha is not going to be a motzi? V'chitei ma'achinami. And maybe you'll say, yeah, who says that the bracha has to be a motzi on a Karban Mincha? But doesn't the Braisa say Likates mikulan kazayis, that a person who gathers together crumbs that are each less than a kazayis, and he's mitzarif them to a shir kazayis, va'achalo, and then you eat those crumbs on Pesach, im chametu anosh kares. If those crumbs come from chametz, so then you're chayiv kares for eating chametz on Pesach. And im matzahu, and if those crumbs come from matzah makes a lot of crumbs, so adam yotze ben yudei chavasa b'Pesach. So then you can fulfill your mitzvah on Pesach, the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the first night of Pesach. So you see that even crumbs that are less than a kazayis are apparently called lechem because you say amotzi on it. You could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with it. So apparently the bracha is going to be amotzi. So it says Gemara, no, hachamayaskinan. The brisa that talks about Pesach, whether it's a isra of chametz or a mitzvah of matzah, is b'she'irsan, is that you needed these psisim together again, that you attach them together again by kneading them with something. So they have a chashivus of lechem, and that's why you could be yotzei your chiyuv. But it's not a raya to chavitza that Rav Yosef was talking about, where the crumbs were separate from one another. So frankly, Mari Yahachi, if the Brice is talking about a case where you were mitzarif all the crumbs together to one big crumb that has a shir kezayis, hainu de katani Allah, that which it says in the Brice of Vuhusha achalon b'kedei achilas pras, that you're only going to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah or violate the yisra of chametz if you eat the full kazayis b'kdei achilas pras, during the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras lechem, which is obviously the halacha when it comes to the mitzvah of achilas matzah, that people are so careful to make sure that you have to eat a kazayis within the shear, within the amount of time of kdei achilas pras. But we're not focused on the lashon of kdei achilas pras over here. We're focused on the lashon of v'hu sha'acholon, that you eat all of these crumbs b'kdei achilas pras v'bishirson. But if the Brice is talking about a case where the crumbs have been combined into a single unit, it should not be sha'achalon, it should be sha'achalo mibayalei. It should say sha'achalo lashon yachid, because it's one thing now that you've combined it into one unit. From the fact that it says a lashon rabim, it sounds like it's still a bunch of different crumbs. So therefore the kasha on Rav Yosef returns, that from the Brice you see that even crumbs that are less than a kazayis, the bracha is hamotzi. Ella hachamayaskinan biba milechem gadol. No, we're not talking about where you combined it. We're not talking about where you combined it back into a single unit. But the Braisa about Pesach is talking about where the loaf that these crumbs came from still exists, meaning you didn't crumble the entire matzah into crumbs. You crumbled half the matzah into crumbs. But since there's a davar chashuv remaining from the original loaf, so even the crumbs still have the chashivos of that original loaf, and therefore you could still fulfill your mitzvah of matzah with it on Pesach. But a chavitza is talking about something where there's nothing left of the original loaf, and therefore, even though the crumbs came from a lechem gadol originally, but since right now there is no lechem gadol, if the crumbs are smaller than a kazayis, the bracha is going to be a mezonos. So my havila, how do we paskin about this chavitza which have crumbs that are less than a kazayis? So says Gemara of Sheshet Samar, afilu pirurin she'ein ben kazayis, even if the crumbs are less than a kazayis, the bracha is still going to be hamotzi. Amrava v'udika turita dinahama alayu. But that's only if it has a turita dinahama. It has a tsuras hapas, and even the crumbs that are less than a kazayis still look like bread. But if they don't look like bread at all, then there is no bracha of hamotzi. There is significant discussion in the poskim what the proper bracha rishona is on matzah. The machzik bracha, the chidah, writes that the shiari knesset gadola was asked about matzah after Pesach. Do you make a hamotzi on it because it's flour and water, or do you say mezonos because it's a cracker? So it doesn't have tzura sapas. Anything that doesn't have tzura sapas is going to be a mezonos. So he says you should say hamotzi and birchas hamazon. So in the base David, he explains two reasons for this. Either because you keep the matzah only kedei shira fiyasa and not more than that, so it has a din of lechem, and only if you leave it more than kedei afiyasa, more than the amount of time it needs to be baked, or after the baking you put it back in the oven again, like they do with other type of mezonos foods, only then you'd make a mezonos. Or, and this is the more popular svara, since during Pesach it must be a motzi, because during Pesach it's the only bread that we use, it's the exclusive bread of Pesach, so that elevates it to amotzi. So it can't be that it's amotzi for 1 week out of the year, and it's not amotzi for the rest of the year. So the Chida himself is not so sure. He says the first svara of the Beis David, maybe the matzos are dry and they have a din of pasah b'kistin because they're dry, even though they're not overly baked. And he's not sure sure about the second svara either, because on Pesach we're koveya suda on it. So if you're koveya suda on something, that will give it the bracha of a motzi. Meaning even on the mezonos food, if you're koveya suda. But when it's not Pesach, who's koveya suda on matzah? So if you're not koveya suda on matzah, memela the bracha is not going to be hamotzi. Meaning we think of the idea that svardim have that, some svardim at least use the softer matzahs as a kula, that they allow themselves to use softer matzahs. It's a chumrah that many wouldn't make a hamotzi on the Ashkenazi matzahs, because it's a cracker. How can you make hamotzi on a cracker? So they dafka use the softer matzahs, because there's no suffix of a bracha to make on the softer matzahs. It would be very clearly a hamotzi. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Everyone have a good day and a good Shabbos.